House Cumber. Under debate is a rescinding motion on Amendment Number 1, Madam Clerk.
Amendment Number 1.
Question before the House is to go back to second reading for purposes of specific amendment, the specific amendment being the rescinding of our action Amendment Number 1 yesterday. Mr. Parr.
I think in view of the amendment we've adopted now that some of the financial burdens that are feared by those who are attempting to change this are not nearly as severe as they might have been. A little simple arithmetic indicates to me that a 75-foot building is over 7 stories tall. Now, I'm not the tallest person in this body, but I suspect that Mr. Cotton, who I believe is about the tallest one probably, even Mr. Cotton might find it a long step down from a 75-foot building to a 35-foot ladder.
Mr. McKinnon.
Mr. Speaker, yesterday we honored the Anchorage Daily News and three of its reporters for winning a Pulitzer Prize for public service reporting. Pulitzer Prizes are awarded in other categories. One of them is photography and journalism. The winner this year was a photographer for the Boston Herald American, who photographed a mother and child jumping from the fifth floor of a burning building in Boston. Both of them were killed. It's a very dramatic picture, and that's the reason that I remembered it when I read the report that it had won the Pulitzer for photography. And under Mr. Urian's amendment, that building would be exempt from sprinkler systems. And under the bill as it now stands, that building wouldn't have been. And I think that going back and raising the limit would be a rather unwise move.
Mr. Urian.
Mr. Speaker, I too remember that picture, and I remember the effect it had on me when I saw it in the paper. But it was a babysitter and a baby. It wasn't a mother and child, as I recall. And they weren't jumping, Mr. Speaker. They were falling from a fire escape that dropped. The amendment you just adopted is going to allow the fire marshal to say, don't put sprinkler systems in, but put a fire escape in there. Those people were staying on a fire escape that collapsed under them, and they were killed by something that was supposed to save their lives. It killed them.
Question is, should the House return to second reading for specific amendment? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote, clerk may close the roll. Any member wish to change the vote, clerk may take the roll.
Eleven yeas, 18 nays, 11 excused.
The House has failed to return to second reading for a specific amendment. Does the clerk, that does put us again in the third reading under general discussion. Is there general debate on the bill? Question is,
Mr. Speaker, may we be at ease, please?
House will be at ease. House, come to order, please. We are under general debate in third reading. Mr. Miller.
Well, Mr. Speaker, I'll call the House, although I have no objection to continuing debate until the members are present.
Is there further discussion on the bill? Representative Sullivan.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that we revert to a second reading for purposes of a specific amendment.
Clerk, read the specific amendment.
Amendment number 5 by Mrs. Sullivan. Page 1, lines 13 and 20. After have, insert a floor level.
Representative Sullivan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. You remember yesterday we deleted some superfluous language, but as often happens with floor amendments, the sentence didn't quite read right, and some people were concerned whether the 35 feet meant the peak of the roof or the radio antenna on top of the chimney or what. So just so that there is no question, I'm adding the words having a floor level, so that the 35 feet is a floor level 35 feet above the lowest level of access.
Mr. Urian.
Mr. Speaker, if you adopt this amendment, you note yesterday, Mr. Sullivan told you what some of the A, B, C, F, and H occupancies were. A and B, as you may recall, were assembly buildings, one that's over 1,000 people, one less than 1,000 people. If you adopt this amendment, you can have a large assembly building, all ground floor, huge lights and things, 50 feet high, amphitheater-type building, holds 5,000 people, and they will be exempt from putting in a sprinkler system because they don't have a floor over 35 feet.
Representative Sullivan.
Mr. Speaker, I was concerned about that, too. And as far as I can determine, even auditoriums and other buildings that are included under this generally have some floor level that's high. For instance, in an auditorium up there where the people work the lights, the lighting crew and so forth, perhaps maybe a balcony, there's generally some floor or other that would make the building qualify.
Question is, shall the House return the second reading for specific amendments? The members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk might close the roll. Does any member wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
Twenty-eight yeas, 10 nays, 2 excused.
House is returned to second reading. Mrs. Sullivan.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent for the adoption of Amendment Number 5.
Hearing no objection, Amendment Number 5 is adopted. Mr. Miller.
Mr. Speaker, I'll move and ask unanimous consent that committee substitute for House Bill 468 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, placed on final passage.
Hearing no objection, committee substitute for House Bill 468 is advanced for second, third reading, placed on final passage. The clerk read the bill for the third and final time.
Committee substitute for sponsor substitute for House Bill Number 468 amended by the Commerce Committee. An act relating to fire extinguishing systems and providing for an effective date.
Bill's before you for discussion, Mr. Miller.
Speaker, could the chair advise me if the call's been satisfied? I can't quite tell.
I believe the call is satisfied.
In any case, I'll lift it then.
Sergeant-at-Arms indicates the call is satisfied. Question is, shall committee substitute for House Bill 468 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may close the roll. Does any member wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
Twenty-eight yeas, 10 nays, 2 excused.
So committee substitute for House Bill 468 is amended as passed the House. Mr. Miller?
Mr. Speaker, I don't have a copy of the bill before me. Is there an effective date?
Yes.
Mr. Speaker, I'll move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call on the bill be considered the roll call on the effective date clause.
Hearing no objection, the effective date clause is adopted. Representative Smith.
Mr. Speaker, may we revert to introduction of guests?
Without objection, we'll revert to introduction of guests.
Gallery B is a constituent of mine with whom I had the privilege of serving on the Governor's Medical Malpractice Commission this past summer. He's the Vice President of the Industrial Indemnity Corporation of Alaska, Mr. Donald Sharp.
Clerk, read the next item on the calendar.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill Number 580 by the Finance Committee. An act providing for the issuance of general obligation bonds in the amount of $50,360,200. For the purpose of paying the cost of highway, ferry, and local service roads and trails construction and providing for an effective date. The Committee on Finances had committee substitute for Senate Bill 580 under consideration. A majority of the members of the committee recommends it be replaced with House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 580 and that it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Malone, Chairman, concurred in by Malone, Buchholz, Itta, Naughton, and Guy. Signing do not pass, Haugen. Having no recommendation, Greening, Cooper, and Duncan. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Miller.
Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent that the Finance Committee substitute be accepted in lieu of the original bill.
Speaker.
Is there an objection?
I object for a purpose of an explanation of the difference between the two bills.
Objection is noted. Haugen. Any other discussion? Question is, should the committee substitute be adopted? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
No.
Committee substitute is adopted. Does the clerk have amendments?
Amendment number one by Haugen and Specking. Page one, line seven. Change $48,920,000 to $50,360,200. Page two, line 21. Capital I. Add Vessel Renovation Southeast, $1,440,000. Change appropriate totals accordingly.
Mr. Specking.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to move and ask unanimous consent for adoption of amendment number one.
Objection is noted, Mr. Specking.
Mr. Speaker, it appears to me that the removal of the $1,440,000 from the Southeast Vessel Renovation Program is unwise. I'm certain that the renovations that have been asked for on those vessels are needed in order to keep up with changing patterns of traffic, and I would urge that the body adopt the amendment.
Question is, shall the House adopt amendment number one? We'll have a roll call. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk might close the roll. Any member wish to change their vote? The clerk may take the roll.
Eleven yeas, 27 nays, 2 excused.
Amendment number one has failed. Does the clerk have other amendments?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Miller.
Mr. Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent that House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill number 580 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
No objection. House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 580 is advanced for second, third reading, place of final passage. Clerk, read the bill for the third and final time.
House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill number 580 by the Finance Committee. An act providing for the issuance of general obligation bonds in the amount of $48,920,000 for the purpose of paying the cost of highway, ferry, and local service roads and trails construction and providing for an effective date.
Bills before you for general discussion. Question is, shall House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 580 passed the House. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? The clerk may close the roll. Does any member wish to change their vote? The clerk may take the roll. Miller.
Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent the roll call on House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill number 580 be considered the roll call on the effective date clause.
There is no objection. The effective date clause is adopted. And Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 580 is passed the House. I believe, Madam Clerk, that brings us to the end of the calendar.
Yes.
Brings us to unfinished business. Are there matters to come before the House under unfinished business? Mr. Miller.
Speaker, a number of communications from the other body. First, we have the Senate has passed a committee substitute for House Bill 627, Public Employment Employees Retirement. I checked with Mr. McKinnon. I believe most of these have been on every member's desks. There's the Senate did adopt an amendment, which is kind of complicated to read. But in any case, Mr. McKinnon advises me that it's compatible with the bill that's passed by this House. So I'll therefore move that this body concur in the Senate amendments to committee substitute for House Bill 627. Well, I'll read it. This is an employee is not entitled to a deferred pension unless an application for it is filed and then delete with the board. On or after he reaches his early retirement date, and then delete, and before he attains age 71 or 70. If the employee fails to apply for a deferred retirement benefit, delete, before he becomes 70 years of age. He is eligible for a refund as if his employment had terminated for a reason other than death, and then delete at age 70. In other words, this just seems to be, and I'll ask Mr. McKinnon if this isn't correct, that this is just housekeeping to get rid of this age 70 provisions that's apparently still in the statutes.
Right.
Mr. McKinnon.
Under existing law, if a person didn't apply before he turned 70, he wouldn't be eligible for benefits. And the second portion of their changes, they just deleted a provision that we had a repealer in 627, which was contingent on House Bill 670 passing. And they didn't want to enact that repealer until 670 had passed. They intend to pass it as part of 670.
Question is, should the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 627? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed. The House has concurred in the Senate amendments. The clerk will notify the Senate. Mr. Miller.
The Senate has passed that bill with, again, primarily housekeeping amendments. The person who has been most concerned with this was Representative Greening. Again, he advises that the they're essentially just housekeeping amendments on here. These bills, I think, also were on your desks, I believe, yesterday. Among other, this bill is transferring the Division of Budget Management to the Office of the Governor. As I read the amendment, what it does is, in addition to the other duties of the division, it adds keeping tallies on the number of total positions for all persons employed or under contract by the Agency for Personal Services, including those rendered for capital improvement projects. So therefore, I will ask the members, I'll move that we concur in the Senate amendments, and I'll ask the members to vote yes.
Question is, should the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 900? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed. The House has concurred in the Senate amendments, and the clerk will notify the Senate. Mr. Miller.
Mr. Speaker, the Senate has failed to concur in the House amendments to committee substitute for Senate Bill 564. These are relative to GO bonds in the amount of $58 million for school facilities. Obviously, there's a difference in both amounts and allocations. So I will move that the House recede from its amendment to committee substitute for Senate Bill 564, but I'll ask the members to vote no.
Question is, should the House recede from its amendments to committee substitute to Senate Bill 564? All those in favor say aye. All those opposed?
No.
The House has failed to recede from its amendments. The clerk will notify the Senate. I do apologize.
I wasn't fast enough. I scratched this year, and that's supposed to be no. It's this year. Mr. Speaker, the next three bills are all of the same sort of motion we just passed. They refer to a difference in the between this body and the other body relative to bond issues. The House has failed to concur in the House amendment to send Bill 734. This was GO bonds, the amount of $15 million for the University of Alaska and related appropriations. I'll move that the House receive from its amendment, but I'll ask the members to vote no.
Question is, should the House recede from its amendments to Senate Bill 734? All those in favor say aye. All those opposed.
No.
The House has failed to recede. The clerk will notify the Senate. Mr. Miller.
Mr. Speaker, the Senate also failed to concur in the House amendment to committee substitute for Senate Bill 729, GO bonds, the amount of $7,790,000 for trunk and secondary airport construction. Again, a substantial difference in both total monies and allocations. So I'll move that the House recede from its amendments to committee substitute for Senate Bill number 729, but I'll ask the members to vote no.
Question is, should the House recede from its amendments to committee substitute for Senate Bill 729? All those in favor say aye. All those opposed say no.
No.
The House has failed to recede. Clerk will so notify the Senate. Mr. Miller.
One final one, Mr. Speaker. The Senate has passed committee substitute for House Bill 584, Judiciary, relative to substitution of prescription drugs by pharmacists, with the following amendment, and their amendment was a Senate committee substitute, which the proponents of this legislation in this body tell me is not compatible with the legislation passed by this body. I'll therefore move that this body concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 584, but I'll ask the members to vote no.
Question is, should the House recede from or accept the Senate amendments to committee substitute for House Bill 584? All those in favor say aye. All those opposed say no.
No.
The House has failed to recede from its amendments.
Mr. Miller, can we be at ease?
House will be at ease. House come to order. Mr. Miller.
Speaker, one final piece of business we can take care of this afternoon. The conference committee, which has had Senate Bill 285, making supplemental appropriation Department of Health and Social Services, Alaska Retarded Citizens Association Work Activities Center, and House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 285, making a special appropriation Departments of Health and Social Services for Social Services Institution, has had this legislation under consideration. The Free Conference Committee, of which Representative Cooper was chairman, has finished their deliberations, and their recommendation is that House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill number 285 be amended to delete Section 2, line 19 to 21, page 1. I'll ask Representative Cooper to note what that deletion does, and then I'll bring the matter to a vote.
Mr. Cooper.
Speaker, the deletion is of the appropriation for the contract for the operation of the Kotzebue Pioneers Home. The Senate preferred to put that into the budget, and we didn't particularly care, so that will appear in the Senate version of the budget, and it's out of this bill. That's the only change in the bill.
Mr. Miller.
That being the case, Mr. Speaker, I'll move and ask unanimous consent that this body concur in the Free Conference Committee report.
Clerk, put the bill number on the board.
Communication not been read. Can we be at ease, Mr. Speaker?
House stand at ease. House come to order. Mr. Miller.
Speaker, I'll move that we revert on the calendar to special committee reports.
There be no objection. Revert to the special committee reports. The clerk have a report.
The conference committee with powers of free conference, which has had Senate Bill number 285 and House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill number 285 under consideration, recommends that House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill number 285 be amended to delete Section 2, line 19 through 21 on page 1, and renumber, and that House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill number 285 amended by the Free Conference Committee be adopted, signed by Senate members, Ferguson Chairman, Willis and Buttrovich, House members, Cooper Chairman, Hackney and Greenlee.
Clerk, correct the board. It's got an extra number. Mr. Miller.
Speaker, I'll now move that this body concur in the Free Conference Committee report, adopting Free Conference Committee report for Senate Bill 285.
Question is, should the House adopt the Free Conference Committee report, Senate Bill 285? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed. Free Conference Committee report has been adopted. Mr. Parker was voting in his microphone. Mr. Miller.
Mr. Speaker, I'll move that we revert back to unfinished business on the calendar.
Without objection, the House has returned to unfinished business. Is there additional matters under unfinished business? Mr. Specking. House be at ease. It's come to order. Are there additional matters under unfinished business? If not, the chair under unfinished business would like to clarify a problem we had on a prior free conference committee. Some time ago, we appointed a second free conference on Senate Bill 138, and it was unclear as to which individual was chairman of that committee. We went back and listened to the tapes, and no chairman was designated. So at this time, that those appointees were Mr. Anderson, Mr. Greening, and Mr. Hirschberger, and I would appoint Mr. Greening as chairman. And I'd like to also indicate a change. Yesterday, I appointed the conference committee on workman's comp, and at that time, I had designated Mr. McKinnon as chairman, and I would like to alter that to be Mr. Smith, who is chairman of Labor and Management Committee, and certainly apologize for Mr. Smith. I didn't mean that appointment to be any reflection on him at all. It was thoroughly inadvertent. The chair would like to recognize his outstanding work on that particular piece of legislation. Is Is there anything from the members? Committee announcements. Mr.
I'd like to make an inquiry under unfinished business, Mr. Speaker. When do we intend to have a joint session for purpose of confirmations?
Mr. Urien, if you can find out the answer from the other end of the hall to that, I'd like to know. Mr. Elias.
Mr. Speaker, are we going to special orders?
We're under special orders.
Mr. Speaker, I think we made a serious mistake here just a short while ago on not restoring the $1,440,000 for the vessel renovation of Southeastern Ferry System. I think that those of us that are served by this system should have the opportunity to reconsider and vote on this again. So I'd like to give notice of reconsideration of House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute Senate Bill 580.
Your reconsideration is noted. Mr. Bradley?
Well, I was going to make committee announcements. I didn't want to
Mr.
cut off
Mr. Urien, did you wish the floor under special orders? You have
yes.
the floor, sir.
Mr. Speaker, I take it then that there is a lack of communication between this body and the other body, Mr. Speaker, and I regret that that's taken place. And you remember the vote that we had on this floor last year when we discharged our Free Commerce Committee on the budget, which was sort of a monumental occasion where this body stood unanimously behind Chairman Malone and you, Mr. Speaker, and certainly I'm sure that, speaking only for myself, but I'm sure most of us feel this way, that whatever vote we can give you to help you with the lunkheads on the other end of the hall, I'm certainly behind you 100%. I'm hoping that you can help. We can improve the situation. I think it's deplorable when we've come down this far in the session when there's no communication between this body and the other body. And I know you, Mr. Speaker, are trying hard, and we're behind you 100%.
Mr. Urien, did your reference to lunkheads apply to people in particular, or just sort of a general categorization?
That would probably be a general categorization. But some in particular, but I won't name.
I think since the issues of bonds have been broached, and we will be entering our first free conference appointments tomorrow, really, on the bond issues, that the chair maybe would like to indicate what he thinks the policy of the House should be in some of those committees. In appointing the committees, I am going to be conferring with the minority leader, and I think just because a person votes no on those bills doesn't necessarily mean they're the minority viewpoint. I think we all recognize, especially in money issues and bond issues, that you have to try to strike a very difficult regional balance, as well as some of the other issues within the bills, and I will be try to keep communication open with the minority leader in every effort to try to be fair with the minority. And I would also ask those free conference committees, since I think for the first time, even though it's been a little difficult, the House has tried to gather those bond issues together within at least 3 or 4 days of each other, where even though some of us had perhaps more input than others, generally had a pretty good idea what was going into those bond issues, more or less trying to handle it like we do a budget. And in that context, I think a good extension would be to take the step this year to be sure that every member has an input into those free conference committees if they wish to do so. Therefore, I would ask those free conference committees, as we appoint them, to be very sure that they clearly announce their meetings on the floor, hold the meetings at a time and a place in which they are reasonably accessible both to the membership and the press, and try to conduct those meetings as open as possible. And I sort of have an idea that added scrutiny perhaps will also be instrumental in resolving some of the differences in those bond issues. Mr. Elias.
Mr. Speaker, I'm very happy to hear your cooperative attitude. I had a unique experience last week where I think the Senate is rather progressive. I sat in a free conference committee where the membership in the Senate was two Republicans and one Democrat, and one of the Republicans was the chairman, so I would hope that we'd follow their leadership.
That could happen on occasion. You may get through so many free conference committees, all we got left is Republicans. Mr. McKenna.
Mr. Speaker, as Mr. Urien pointed out, the people down there are generally lunkheads.
Mrs. Sullivan.
Mr. Speaker, under committee announcements.
Under committee announcements.
House has to meet this afternoon at 3, or close as we can to that, to discuss House Bill 881 relating to Laetril, Senate Bill 371 amended child protection, Senate Concurrent Resolution 84 health care facility in Craig, and Senate Bill 542 medical assistance to needy persons.
Other committee announcements.
Mr. Speaker, two committee announcements. House Judiciary will meet at 7 p.m. tonight to take up SB 499, the Salary Commission. House Commerce tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock for sure on the two bills that were inadvertently advertised yesterday.
Mr. Cotton.
CRA will meet tomorrow morning. Senate Bill 753 dealing with daycare.
Representative Buckles.
House Finance Committee will meet at 3:30 this afternoon and again at 7 p.m. this evening to discuss and consider the following House bills. House Bill 557, Utilities and State Rights of Way, 896, Sick Leave Bank, 893, General Obligation Bond Bills, 665, Statewide Coordination of Health Planning, and 782, Creating the Susitna Flats State Game Refuge. Also the following Senate bills, 510, Alaska Net Income Tax Act, 511, Administration and Enforcement State Revenue Laws, and 615, Assistance to the Aged, Blind, and Disabled.
Mr. Miller.
Mr. Speaker, if there are no further announcements, one brief last piece of business. Representative Greening has asked, and I hereby move, that he be excused from the call of the House on May 7th, which is Friday.
Without objection, so ordered. Mr. Anderson.
I'm sorry, I was taking the numbers down from the Finance Committee that they're gonna. The House Resources Committee will meet immediately upon adjournment to hear further testimony on committee substitute for sponsor substitute for Senate Bill 406, tank of facilities. Thank you.
Mr. Miller.
Speaker, I'll move and ask unanimous consent that this body stand in adjournment until 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.
Without objection, the House is in adjournment.